Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
I'm in the mood for some of that, some like gangster stuff, you know, like Machine Gun Kelly. No. Not the rapper. The real one.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John here with Jamie, Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the current day musical artist?
I think I've heard the name. I don't know like their best music.
I only know him because he got in a feud with Eminem, and I'm a big Eminem guy. I know you are too.
Dude, but, don't feud with Eminem.
Well, he lost, as expected, because, you know, it's Eminem. But there was another Machine Gun Kelly that was a much more interesting character. That's who I want to talk about today.
All right, well, why don't you get the ball rolling?
Going back to the 1930s, the Roaring 30s, we're going to talk about a kidnapper, a gangster, and an FBI investigation. Machine Gun Kelly, and we'll give you his real name here in a second, abducted an oil tycoon named Charles Urschel. George Machine Gun Kelly wasn't always the larger-than-life outlaw that the researchers now see him as. He was a career criminal, but he had some humble beginnings. But he is now notorious and well-known, and people name their rap careers after him because of, in large part, the story we're going to talk about today.
All right. So he was born in Memphis, Tennessee in 1895. George Kelly Barnes did not exactly come from a criminal background. His family was middle class, and he had access to a solid education. But Kelly chose a different path.
As they often do. And he started out with small crimes, and he ended up finding his calling in prohibition. Like so many people, he found bootlegging to be a fast way to make money, and he made a name for himself in the illegal liquor trade and ended up finding a woman that would marry him. Catherine Thorne became his number two in his bootlegging organization.
And she was more than just a supportive partner. She was ambitious, cunning, and determined to turn George into a household name, albeit for perhaps the wrong reasons. She even gifted him a Thompson submachine gun, famously known as the Chicago Typewriter. And she made sure people knew about it. Jamie, this gun, I know that today's culture might be, you know, leaning more towards anti-gun, but as a gun owner and enthusiast, this is like a dream gun. This is notorious for that time period for the mobsters and the gangsters, and it was awesome.
I mean, if you can't read between the lines, a Thompson submachine gun is a Tommy gun. And that's kind of how the legend started. And then 1933, they started planning a crime that would make headlines. It was July 22nd, and wealthy oil man Charles Urschel was at his Oklahoma City home enjoying a friendly card game with his wife and some of their friends, but his life soon changed forever.
Just after 9 p.m., two men burst through the door. It was Machine Gun Kelly and his accomplice, Albert Bates, and they were masked, armed, and determined. The gunman forced Urschel at gunpoint, tying up his friend and ignoring the terrified pleas of the women. Within minutes, Urschel was shoved into a waiting car.
The kidnappers drove him across state lines, eventually arriving at a secluded farmhouse in Texas that was owned by Kelly's wife, Karen, owned by her parents. It was there that they held him captive, and they demanded a ransom of $200,000, which in 1930s, I would think is a million bajillion dollars.
Especially during the Great Depression.
Yeah, this is not a good time to be asking for money. But they didn't realize that he wasn't just an ordinary victim or some trophy to be held for ransom. He started noting every detail around him. He was almost like prepared for something like this to happen.
I mean, this is crazy. He was memorizing the sounds of airplanes overhead, the number of steps to the door, and even the scent of the surrounding landscape. It was like he was preparing evidence while in captivity. And while Urschel was gathering mental clues, his wife was making frantic calls. The FBI, then known as the Bureau of Investigation, was soon on the case.
The FBI advised his family to go ahead and pay the ransom. On July 31st, the money was dropped off between two school buses in Sepulveda, California, exactly as instructed. Meanwhile, Kelly and Bates collected the cash, and a third person on their team named John Irwin was having second thoughts. Consumed with fear, Irwin decided to let Urschel go.
Urschel was blindfolded once again and left on the outskirts of Norman, Oklahoma. After walking several miles, he found a security guard and was soon reunited with his wife. But the story doesn't end there. The FBI was determined to find Kelly and his gang. Using Urschel's detailed recollections, they traced the kidnappers to a Texas farmhouse. This, like, the only thing that I can think of that reminds me of this is the movie Bingo, like where the dog, like he tracked down his family across the country. And that was crazy. But this actually happened.
Yeah. And it is absolutely wild that he had the presence of mind to do this and was able to do it so accurately. I don't know if I could, just by sounds and smells, tell you where my house is.
Yeah. Like you could kidnap me and drive me 10 miles away and I'm screwed.
The evidence was pretty overwhelming. They had fingerprints, ransom bills in circulation, and everything pointed at Machine Gun Kelly and his wife, Catherine. After weeks on the run, they finally cornered and captured them in Memphis. When the FBI stormed their hideout, this was on September 26th of 1933, Kelly famously surrendered, shouting, "Don't shoot, G-Men!" It's a moment that helped solidify the nickname G-Men for FBI agents.
I did not know that that was a nickname for them until today.
I've heard it used, but didn't really associate it as like a proper nickname for them, but it is what it is.
All right. Well, of course, they went to trial and went pretty quickly with Urschel's powerful testimony and the FBI's rock-solid evidence. Kelly and Catherine were sentenced to life in prison. Kelly was sent to a little prison you may have heard of called Alcatraz.
That's kind of a big deal.
Incredible. Where the once-feared gangster lived out his days quietly. Catherine, ever the manipulator, continued pushing for her release. She ended up serving 25 years before finally being paroled in 1958.
Yeah, this lived on in a lot of ways. It played a role in, also after the Lindbergh baby was kidnapped, solidifying kidnapping as a federal offense. And really, they were able to add that to a lot of charges against organized crime. Anytime you put a person in any place against their will, they make kidnapping a part of it. So then they can bring the FBI in, bring the feds in, and make it a bigger deal. But John, is this, I don't know, does he deserve this kind of notorious reputation for a very, very failed kidnapping?
Well, I mean, I think it's intriguing that over time, America culture just kind of sensationalizes these type of people. Think about all the Bonnie and Clydes, Machine Gun Kelly, the, you know, other famous mobsters. I think it's interesting that we kind of, not idolize, but just, we kind of love them in our own weird way as Americans. But no, I don't think he deserves that kind of notoriety. He picked the wrong guy. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, he did.
Don't pick a bloodhound, apparently.
And who knew that it would be like that? Of course you don't. So maybe don't kidnap anybody in the first place. So,
and if you do, like, maybe pick somebody that's not as smart as this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's, man, he was built different.
Charles Urschel, that's the guy that should be notorious. We should talk more about him, but I didn't know his name until today.
Yeah.
So
I don't know that this makes sense, but in my mind it does. I'm going to call him Charles the Bloodhound Urschel.
I like it. I like it a lot. We'll maybe call that the episode, but that's going to do it for today. Another crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media. Igniting conversation.